Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is The Good News Show.
And good afternoon. Welcome to The Good News Show here on this Monday, June 30th, 2025. We are back in studio. I know last Monday we were out and we were in Medjugorje last Monday, and it's so good to be back, and I'm so excited to have this opportunity to broadcast. We got such a wonderful hour of broadcasting for you here, and so thank you for joining us. My name is Dave Palmer, the host of the program, along with Cecil Anderson on the other side of the glass. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Cecil. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well.
A little exhausted?
A little exhausted, yes. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So Cecil and I were part of a team, three of us. All three of us are going to be on the program here in the coming minutes to tell you about some of the highlights of a trip that we just got back from on Saturday, a pilgrimage to Medjugorje. And, you know, if you've never been to Medjugorje, or maybe you've been on the fence, or maybe you have some doubts about the authenticity, or whatever your situation is, we want to just tell you about our experience, because a personal experience is infallible. I mean, it's what you experienced. And all three of us, Sean and Cecil and I, had just a fabulous time. So we are going to get to that in just a moment. And I just want to tell you, on the program in the second half, we're going to change gears a little bit. I'm going to have in studio with me Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder and director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. And they have their big annual Singles Conference coming up August 22nd through the 24th in Denver, Colorado. She's a local person. I think she lives in Cleburne, which is a famous Catholic town. A lot of great Catholics in Cleburne. And so she'll join us in studio to talk about the conference and also just kind of what inspired her to begin this National Singles Conference many, many years ago, and also how the theology of the body in St. John Paul II has influenced her. And we're going to spend most of the first half of the program talking about that pilgrimage I mentioned in Medjugorje. And before that, though, I just want to very, very quickly remind you that this year, is the 25th anniversary of the very first Catholic radio station of the Guadalupe Radio Network that went on the air back in Midland, Texas on July 19th of the year 2000. Most of us, unless your name is Toya Hall or Len Oswald, weren't with the GRN at that time, but that was the beginning. And so this July 19th, this year, which is, I think, 2 weeks from Saturday, we're going to have our big 25th anniversary celebration at the Plano Event Center in Plano, and about 2,000 people are going to be there. It's sold out. It's a free event, but we've cut off registration, but I think you can still get on the waiting list in case people drop off. And so you can go to the website grnonline.com/anniversary to learn more about that event. So, all right, so let me change gears and just ask you, have you ever had an experience that fundamentally changed your life and kind of set you in a whole different direction? Well, I'm willing to say, I want to give it about a month until I can absolutely know that this pilgrimage to Medjugorje did exactly that. But I'll tell you, this was an amazing last 10 days. And that's why I've asked our Vice President of Mission Development, Sean Rice, to join us via phone from San Antonio. He and his wife, Ubi, were among the 30 or so pilgrims from most of them from North Texas, but from other parts of the country that went on this pilgrimage from June 19th to June 28th. And he's joining us on phone. Sean, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Dave. Glad to join you on your program.
Yeah.
How are y'all doing?
Yeah, we're doing fine. I didn't think it would be complete if, you know, you and Cecil and I weren't all on, because, you know, yeah, we experienced this all together, of course, with Ubi, your wife, and Paula, my wife, and my son, Patrick, and also Cecil Anderson and her very, very bestie friend, Isabel, were, the cameras in hand the entire time. So, Cecil, welcome. Thanks for being here as well for this this segment.
Of course. Wouldn't miss it.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about 15 minutes with me and Sean and Cecil and get our takes. And then I'm going to have on the phone with me several of the pilgrims. And Rose from Boston. We have Alicia from Maine. And also Bill and Phyllis from St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Granbury. and Roxy Young from Holy Redeemer Parish in Aledo. And so that's all coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And just give you a little bit of the background before I turn it over to Sean and then Sissel to give their takes. And I want to let you also know that one of the big reasons we went was because of a wonderful, wonderful lady who organized the entire thing. Her name is Elizabeth Victory, and she is from St. John Vianney Parish in Cleburne, Texas. And she and her husband, Joel, are the ones that organized this and really were, you know, the force behind the idea to do this documentary on Medjugorje. So I really want to thank both of them sincerely for their support in organizing this. And also I want to thank our Chief Operating Officer, Toya Hall, because without her yes, we would not have gone, you know. And she, you know, selected me and Sean and Sissel to go. And we're very honored. And it was just a great, great honor to be out there and also to bring our loved ones there as well. So let me give you a little bit of background. And then, like I said, I want to turn it over to Sean and Sissel so they can share their takes and how they were touched by this. And I want to say, first of all, way too many people are not yet aware of Medjugorje. It's a little village of about 5,000 people in Bosnia-Herzegovina. And this past week, tens of thousands, maybe upwards of 80,000 pilgrims from every part of the world came to Medjugorje to celebrate the 44th anniversary of the very first apparition with a message, which came on June 25th of 1981. Okay. And so if you were in the camp of, you know, like, I don't know about Medjugorje, I'm not sure if it's real or not. I will say last year, the Vatican issued what's called a nihil obstat regarding apparitions in Medjugorje, which means in Latin, there are no obstacles, which means nothing has been said in all the messages over 44 years that contradicts the teachings of Holy Mother Church. And so we are free to believe these visionaries and the messages. And also, of course, nobody is obligated to do so. And so I think, you know, what we want to do is just give you our personal experience in order that you might be inspired to go out there yourself. And so last Wednesday, June 25th, marked the 44th anniversary of the first apparition and message that was celebrated. You know, but like I said, tens of thousands of people right outside St. James Parish in Medjugorje. Sissel, Sean, and I were there with, you know, 80,000 of our best friends. And it marked the anniversary of the first time Our Lady, identifying herself as Queen of Peace, spoke to six visionaries, Ivan, Maria, Mariana, Ivanka, Jakob, and Vishka. And her message that day was basically mir, 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 which means in Croatian, peace, peace, peace. And also, God exists, and even though many people do not believe and do not live as if he exists, and which was interesting then because that part of the world at that time was under communist rule, and you weren't even allowed to talk about God. You could be punished for having any kind of religious gatherings. And so while we were there, we stayed at the home of Ivan, one of the visionaries, and he was receiving daily messages as he has for 44 years. And while we were there, it was happening. So we witnessed the Our Lady appearing to him. Of course, we didn't see her, but he did. And I'll save my thoughts until I turn it over to Sean and Sissel, and then I'll close out with mine before we go to some of the folks who were there with us. But that's the background. We were there in Medjugorje for about 7 days, and I know, Sean, you and Sissel were very touched as well. So, Sean, can you just kind of share your take now that you've had a few days to kind of digest it all? What were the biggest takeaways for you?
You know, I'm glad to join you on the program, Dave, and it's like you said, to be there with our closest, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, as you mentioned, about 80,000 of them. I think that was probably one of the greatest things that I took away is the faith of the people there in Medjugorje, in the areas that we got to visit. You know, there you have the area near Yvonne's house, you know, which is about a 20-minute walk from, you know, the parish area, right, where, you know, a lot of the hustle and bustle and events are taking place. But just the immense Catholic faith of everywhere you encountered. You know, Marian statues in front of every home, it seemed, rosaries from every, you know, vehicle, it looked like. And you got a chance to experience that, this shared faith, you know, the one, you know, Catholic faith that we all, you know, profess and believe in. It was very much evident there. I mean, as you mentioned, on that anniversary evening mass, adoration with, you know, tens of thousands of faithful, you know, flying flags from, you know, from many nations. I think that was the one big takeaway, and to really the authenticity that I felt that, you know, that Yvonne showed us, you know, again, it was just so beautiful. He was so accessible, answered lots of questions, and it was just a beautiful experience for sure for me. And like you, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, to seeing what, you know, what really those graces for me and my family and my wife, you know, what that entails. But it was very impactful for me for sure.
Yeah, there's a good point about Yvonne, because, you know, we ate at his residence, us and the 30 or so others. And there's one time when Yvonne was serving, you know, he would come in during dinner. He had his two nephews who that were doing most of the work. But just to see, you know, I can imagine, man, if I was like one of the visionaries, I could let it kind of get to my head. But like you said, I never felt that with him. I felt, you know, there was one time when my son ran up to him and kind of like rubbed my son has autism. So he was rubbing his tummy, and instead of like, you know, kid, get your hands off me, you know, he was just laughed, and he was just a very real person. And I think people need to see that. They need to see that. But Sean, thanks so much. I any other thoughts on it before we turn it over to Sissel and she can talk about hers?
You know, I would just say, you know, give it a chance. You know, like you mentioned, you know, there are going to be people out there that, you know, doubt this and doubt that, but you know, the fruits are real. You know, there's a lot of people that have come to, you know, a deeper faith because of their experiences there. And this has been going on, like you said, for 44 years, you know, so you can check these things out online. Dave will, you know, I'm sure you'll give out the website and what have you. But again, open hearts would triumph for sure. And again, it's a message that Our Lady, you know, so strenuously, you know, talks about, and it's peace. You know, who cannot, you know, withstand more peace in the world, especially right now? So I would leave you with that.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Sean. And it was great to spend time with you and Ubi and, you know, having meals together. And I felt like we really got to know both of you so much better. So God bless you. And thanks so much for spending some time with us on the air today.
You got it. God bless y'all.
All right. Thanks so much, Sean Rice, our Vice President of Mission Development. Sissel Anderson, you know, she and Isabel, I mean, you guys were pilgrims, but you were carrying cameras and lugging equipment around, and you were doing a lot of work. So I'm very curious. What were your takes, Sissel?
You know, about halfway through the week, Isabel and I determined that we were pilgrims, but we were on a very different pilgrimage than everyone else. You know, ours was a very penitential, you know, intense physically, especially for us, and mentally, just trying to keep track of everything that we were trying to do. But that being said, I've already seen some great graces come from it. And first and foremost, some of the things that we had to do, like climbing up Cross Mountain and climbing up Apparition Hill while lugging like 40 pounds of camera equipment, I did not train for this. Like, I was not, you know, ready for how intense that was going to be. And I think it's only through special graces from our Lady that we were able to do that and immediately go on to other things and immediately keep going with and going day after day. I think truly, I do believe. But yeah, it was really, honestly, from our perspective, because again, we had a slightly different perspective than everyone. One of the most beautiful things was, in addition to the peace that we felt while we were there, was that we got to see very intimately how Medjugorje was affecting everyone else around us, because mm-hmm. we were filming everybody.
Yeah,
seeing people's reactions, because we were very intimately watching, you know, other, you know, trying not to be obtrusive, but also we had cameras around and we were catching things, that it was just really beautiful to see.
Yeah, sure was. And a lot of people are very interested in this documentary, and you can tell us in a moment when realistically we can expect it. I know you've got, I mean, I don't know how many hours of footage of interviews and B-roll and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to, before we get to the documentary, and then we're also going to hear from several of our fellow pilgrims that went with us. I want to say that the core message of our Lady Queen of Peace, you know, to the visionaries of Medjugorje. First of all, it's a very simple message. And, you know, I spoke with Elizabeth Victory via text today, and she said, you know, will you mention her message from June 25th, last Wednesday? And the message last Wednesday on the anniversary was this, word for word, "Dear children, also today, I thank the Almighty that I am with you and that I can lead you towards the God of love and peace. The ideologies which destroy your spiritual life are transitory. I am calling you, little children, to return to God, because with God you have a future and eternal life. Thank you for having responded to my call." Okay, that was the message from last Wednesday there at Medjugorje. And, you know, the core message is what's called the five stones, just like, you know, when David, you know, had the five stones against Goliath, that he took down Goliath, the five stones that we use, you know, against the spiritual combat that we face in life are very simple. Pray the rosary with the heart, the Eucharist, read scripture daily, fasting and monthly confession. I mean, that's like in football, blocking and tackling. Okay. This is the basic stuff. We can all get off on our different things. You know, I love St. Thomas Aquinas. I like doing that. And that's great. And you may love Divine Mercy and you may love Fatima and you may love this, but that's about blocking and tackling. I mean, those are the five things. So having said that, before we get to our guests, Cicel, and you want to give a quick update as much as you know about the documentary that's coming out?
You know, I wish I could give a very solid update, but you know, we have a 25th anniversary event between now and the next three weeks. So I don't think it's going to be looked at much before then, but we have several hundred probably hours of footage at this point with all that we did from that time and all the pre-interviews we did. And I'm hoping to do some post-interviews as well, because like you said, Dave, we don't fully know the full extent of the graces that came from this trip for most of the pilgrims. So wanting to see in the future, a few weeks down the line, where people are at in their faith journeys and how this trip has affected them and how being in Medjugorje affected them. So that all to say, I don't know, but don't expect it in the next couple of months. That's what I would say. Give it some time.
Okay, my wife's reminding me, pray the rosary daily, okay? Maybe I didn't emphasize that enough. Thank you, Paula. Pray the rosary daily, okay? It's so, so very important with the heart. All right, well, thank you so much, Cicel, and thank you so much, Sean, for their takes. And now I want to share with you, both live and also through text message, some of the experience of the other pilgrims that went. And I want to start with a message. There's a couple from Boston, Massachusetts, Ken and Rose, who came, and Rose was not able to join us live today, but she sent me a text, and I want to read the text from Rose from Boston. And in a moment, we're going to talk to Roxy from Holy Redeemer Parish in Aledo. We're going to hear from Alicia Brookins from Maine, and Bill and Phyllis Brewer, who are from St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Granbury. But Rose from Boston said, "My experience at Medjugorje was a powerful one, not because I experienced a miracle, but because I experienced forgiveness, a rebirth, and an acceptance I had not thought possible. I've known about Medjugorje for 20 plus years, and I've heard numerous stories from people who have had miraculous healings and even those disappointed because they did not. I always knew that I needed to go, and this year I was called by our Blessed Mother, who said, 'It is time.' I went not knowing what to expect. I went broken and unsure whether I could ever be worthy. Boy, was I in for something different. I was fortunate enough to join the pilgrims that came from Texas and the GRN, and they accepted me and my husband, the Northern Yankees, and it was just an amazing experience. I heard stories of people with great faith and many blessings to those with hardships and shattered lives. I realized I was not that different, and our Blessed Mother accepts us all. That was my miracle. I went broken and I came back forgiven. I arrived a stranger and found a family. I was alone and I found a love so great in Our Lady that is both powerful and beautiful. If you've ever been on the fence, if you haven't heard about Medjugorje, if you're thinking it's not for me, I tell you, rethink, because amazing things do happen in Medjugorje. It's a land of holiness. It's where heaven meets earth. And it's where our Blessed Mother will take you in her arms and make your heart whole again." Thank you. Again, that is from Rose in Boston, Massachusetts, one of the 30 or so pilgrims that went to Medjugorje recently. We just arrived back on Saturday. So let's go now to Roxy Young. Roxy is from Holy Redeemer Parish in Aledo, and she's a rather vivacious, fun lady, and she joins us now. Roxy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us, and it was so great to spend those 10 days or so with you and the other pilgrims. But tell us, what were your takeaways now that you've had a few days to digest it?
You know what? Medjugorje to me means, yes, heaven on earth. And my thought is, can we have heaven in Aledo? Can we have heaven in Texas? Can we have heaven in California, New York, Chicago, Alaska? Yes, we can. I purchased these little cards, and on the cards, it's so important to know Mary is giving us a clue. I give you the weapon against your Goliath. She's talking to each one of us, and here are your five stones. That's the map to have heaven wherever you are. So pray the rosary and pray it from the heart. Talk to Jesus, talk to Mary, receive the Eucharist. If you can go to Mass daily in a state of grace, go for it. Read the Bible. It's a holy Bible. Don't put it under your pillow thinking it's a magical tooth and the fairy's going to come. Open it up and read it. Try to fast. You can fast on bread and water or anything else, TV, the internet. Try to fast on Wednesday and Friday, and try to go to monthly confession. And if you need to go before then and whatever it takes, just try to do that. And our mother loves us, and she wants to help us. And she also said that if you knew how much I love you, you would cry for joy.
Mm. You know, Roxy, you had, as you seem to be doing everything out there. You and your roommate, Lori, I think were climbing, early in the morning and getting to the 5 o'clock message from Maria. What were the highlights? You really explained the message there very well, but what were some of the things that you did? Or was there one or two things that really stood out last week?
I've never climbed the mountain every single day. And we woke up at 3 in the morning, and we were out the door at 3:30. I decided to go barefoot the first 2 days, and then the third day, I had all these blisters, so I wrapped them up, and I put my tennis shoes, and Father Wilson from Azle, he said, Roxy, did you have coffee? I said, no, I put my tennis shoes on. But going up the mountain was so peaceful, and I was able to hear Our Mary in quiet peace. So when you talk, it's hard for you to listen. But when you're quiet and you're silent, you can hear her words.
Mm. And I think this was your fifth time to go to Medjugorje, is that right?
This was actually my fourth.
Okay, fourth time.
So, yes.
Was this one different in any way, or how do they just get better each time, or what is it like to be there multiple times?
The first time was 2017, and I went with my 17-year-old daughter, and I had no expectations whatsoever. And it seemed like I received an abundance of blessings left and right. And they continue, but if you don't have any expectations, it's almost as if our Lord showers you with love in different ways. So every time I go, I receive peace, and it seems to be sinking in more every time I go. So it's like when Mary talks, people say, well, she says the same message, but we don't really listen that well. So she's telling us so that we can open our hearts and listen to what she is helping us to get closer to her son. So it's just an increase in peace that I find in wanting to be in a silent place and in wanting to connect more with our Lord. But it's so amazing. And what she wants us to do is bring the peace back to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back.
Yeah, so needed, universally needed, like you say, whether it's in Aledo or Dallas, Fort Worth or Boston, Washington, D.C., we need that peace. Roxy Young, thanks so much. It was great spending that time with you. Thank you for your kindness to our little son who really enjoyed all the hugs and the kindness that you showed him. So thanks for being on the program also today.
Thank you for inviting me, and it was such a pleasure having your family with us. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. Roxy Young from Holy Redeemer Parish in Aledo, one of the 30 or so pilgrims who went to Medjugorje from the 19th to the 28th. I should say we had a couple of stops. We were in Dubrovnik, Croatia, And we also were in a city. What was it? Zadar, Croatia.
Yes, Zadar,
you know,
Croatia.
If you've ever watched, just Medjugorje was the highlight, but the two little trips to Croatia were quite amazing as well. And so before we get to our next guest, Lizia Brookins, up in Maine, she was there. I want to say one of the cool things about our particular group was the age variation.
Yes.
You know, my son Patrick was the youngest, but he was 12, and then we had several teenagers. We had people in their 20s like yourself, and at least one in their 30s, people, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, it was a very, very diverse group, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that was such a cool thing to see, seeing the younger folks and the older folks hanging out together and just enjoying their company. Some of the younger guys were really good about helping the older folks, especially going up and down the hills. It was beautiful to see.
Yeah, sure was. Alicia Brookins is from Maine, and she was among the 30 or so that to went on pilgrimage to Medjugorje. She was there with her daughter, who is on the other side of the country. She lives in the state of Washington. And Alicia, thanks so much for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us all the way from Maine, what inspired you to come? You know, we went with 206 Tours. What inspired you to join this group at this time to go to Medjugorje last week?
Well, first, I'm a Texan.
That's right. You're from Cleburne, right?
I'm from Cleburne.
Yeah.
And I consider myself a Texan, but I live in Maine. And if you live in Maine, you can never be a Mainer. They call you Flatlander, and that's it. And that's okay. I'm a very proud Texan. When I reflect back on this journey, one, I was telling Cecil, I'm glad I took today off and didn't just have to hop right back in. But I agree with what Roxy was saying earlier about traveling with this open heart to our mother, of being open to the message and the peace and the blessings that continue to rain upon my family in numerous ways. I said it before, my daughter lives in Washington, but her story starts in Medjugorje as a preemie being very sick. And this is a full circle moment for myself, and I believe for her, that revisited, being able to visit somewhere that, and being blessed with the miracle of her life, and her recovery and her struggles, was enlightening. But for me personally, I can't wait to return to Medjugorje, and I feel that I will. But bringing that peace to my community where I live now in Maine, I find myself in prayer often for the work that I do as a counselor and a therapist for the clients that I work with. And so I feel like so many of those prayers that I had on my way there and the belief that those things would be answered were answered tenfold. I felt like every step of the way, my load was lighter through the Blessed Mother's intercession.
You know, it was interesting. Last Wednesday, we mentioned this a couple of times, they had the anniversary mass, and I don't know how many tens of thousands, let's just say 80,000 people were there. And even in the midst of 80,000 people, and, you know, most of them we probably can't even communicate with because they all speak different languages, but there was a peace that I don't know that I can describe, you know, even in the midst of all the chaos. I wouldn't even call it chaos, the large crowd, but it's, can you describe what is it like, you know, walking the streets of Medjugorje and being amongst all the faithful in this little tiny village in Bosnia Herzegovina?
Oh, gosh. After being there a few days, you feel like you're part of the community.
Yeah.
I felt integrated in to that community. Because after a while, you see the same people. You speak. Even if you don't speak the same language, you find yourself at least nodding in acknowledgement of the other humans that are traveling this journey.
Yeah.
And you find yourself talking to store owners and them asking you, how are things for you? And that connection to Medjugorje, I think, and I think and I hope it stays with me for some time to come. And I think that's what I have been looking for since I've returned home. It was nice. My husband and I had our anniversary yesterday. And I don't know if I shared that with you, Dave, that we did talk about it a little bit, I believe, about my husband and our practice of prayer together.
Yeah.
And my husband is not Catholic.
Mm.
So I bought him a rosary. I bought him two rosaries. And when I got in the car at Logan, we were talking and we had pulled over to get gas. And I pulled the first rosary out and it was matching the clothes that he had on. And he says, oh my God, it matches.
It's a sign.
And so my husband's never prayed the rosary. And when we came home, I gave him the second rosary and he says, you have to teach me.
Mm.
You have to teach me to pray it. And my heart just got huge. And it was like, of course we'll pray the rosary. Of course we will.
Yeah, wow. That's a beautiful, beautiful story. And to think that he was so open to it, and who knows what what's in store for him. And that really highlights the fact that the fruits of Medjugorje are not just with the people that physically go. We bring it back, and I think that's really our mandate. You know, especially those of us in Catholic Radio, we have this opportunity to broadcast the messages and pilgrimage, but. Alicia, thank you very much. It was so great to meet you, and so great to meet your daughter, Raisa, and spend that time with you. And I hope it won't be the last time we see you. And yeah, thank you for also sharing your thoughts on the program today.
Absolutely, Dave. Absolutely.
All right. And I also want
to continue to bless you.
Well, another thing that's cool about you and your husband is that you started up a Texas barbecue place in Maine, didn't you?
Yes, we have.
You brought Texas with you. All right. Thanks so much. Great, great speaking with you. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you so very much, Dave. And like I said, may the blessings of our mother continue to grace you and your family also.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much. Our final guests are a beautiful married couple by the name of Bill and Phyllis Brewer, and they are from St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Granbury. And you're probably wondering, why are all these people from the Fort Worth Diocese? And it really is Elizabeth Victory and her husband Joel that are kind of the glue. They're the ones that know these folks from St. John Vianney Parish in Cleburne. And friends of theirs are Bill and Phyllis, and they were among the pilgrims, and they both join us, I think, on separate phones. Bill and Phyllis, can you hear me? Good afternoon.
Yes, I can hear you. Dale, can you hear?
I can hear fine.
All right. Well, let me start with you, if I may, Bill. It was a great privilege for me and Cecil and Sean to meet the two of you when we went out to the parish, I guess a month or so ago, and did a pre-interview with you all about, you know, your expectations of Medjugorje, and now that you know, we got that on film, and we also, you know, videotaped you while we were there as well. I'd just like to ask both of you, just maybe give your highlight or two of your time there and the takeaways spiritually. Bill, would you like to start?
Sure. Thank you for asking. I wanted to be clear that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is real. We attended five visitations to Ivan, our host, in Medjugorje. But Mary...
Hey, Bill, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure that you and Phyllis are in different rooms of the house, because we're getting a little bit of feedback. Can you guys, I hate to have anybody...
You're separating.
Yeah, just go in different rooms, because I think we're getting some feedback onto her phone. But anyways, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to make sure that everybody can hear you clearly. But if you guys can go in separate rooms, because I know you're on different phones. Yeah, go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry to interrupt. But what can you continue that thought?
It's important to know that Mary blessed us, our families, and even our prayer requests in our conversations with people here. They are beginning to see progress in their healing. So that was beautiful for confirmation on the day we returned.
Mm.
And then lastly, to join tens of thousands of people in adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the silence, the beauty, the Catholicity and the blessings were abundant, unbelievably abundant. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bill. That sounded great. Once we got that worked out with the phones, Bill Brewer from St. Francis Cabrini Parish in Granbury, and his lovely wife Phyllis was there as well. Phyllis, can you do the same to talk about what were your takeaways from last week?
Sure. Good to hear your voice again, Dave. I have continual flashbacks of holy moments. Just one after the other, beautiful, beautiful things that happened. But I think it outstanding the thousands of pilgrims coming from all over the world, just coming together to worship our Lord, and at the call of His mother, who's acting as His ambassador. She always points to Him, and just calling us to a better and a stronger relationship with her Son. And then just still remembering seeing hundreds of priests processing in before Mass. And then they're sitting around wherever they can later after Mass, hearing confessions until like 11 at night. And they have a little sign, you know, by wherever they're sitting outside, with the language that they can hear your confession in, and some of them speak more than one language. But I still have pictures of that, you know, just beautiful things. And I'm so amazed at the number of people that could travel anywhere they wanted to, but they have continued to go back to Medjugorje year after year. That's amazing.
Yeah, it sure was. And well, thanks so much to both of you. And, you know, Sissel and I were talking a moment ago about how there was such a great age range, you know, from my little son, Patrick, 12, to teenagers and 20s. And you two are on the wise and seasoned spectrum of that age range. And so how was it for y'all to be with all the youngsters?
It was wonderful. You know, we were so glad to see the younger people embrace really, you know, conservative Catholicism.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful thing. And your son was a delight. He really was. Just exudes joy and love.
Yeah, well, it's hard not to when you're out there. So, Bill and Phyllis, thanks so much. It's great to have met you and to be pilgrims with you. And I know we're going to see you again as we continue to get your thoughts after maybe a week or two of letting this all sink in. So thank you very much for being part of the program today.
Thank you, Dave, and just blessings to you and your family.
Thank you, and thank you also to Bill, and there's Bill and Phyllis Brewer from Granbury, Texas. And I also want to mention, just as we close out this segment on our trip to Medjugorje, that there is MaryTV.tv out there, and they cover a lot of Medjugorje. And so if you want to kind of, you know, follow the day-to-day happenings in Medjugorje, you can do that. And they were kind enough to let us use their studio for our radio broadcast last week as well. It's great to meet Joseph and his wife and his family out there who run that. MaryTV.tv. So we're going to skip the break because I'm a little bit behind, and I want to make sure we give plenty of time to our next segment here on the Good News Show. And I have in studio with me the founder and director of the National Conference for Single Catholics, Anastasia Northrup. And they have a big singles conference happening in Denver, Colorado, on August 22nd through the 24th. And so I want to read some of her her bio. But first of all, thanks, Anastasia, for being here. Good to see you.
Thank you so much, Dave. Great to be here with you.
After having all these phone guests, it's nice to actually have somebody in studio. So thanks for coming out here. And you're from Cleburne, right?
Yes, exactly. That's where I live now. I'm from all over, kind of. But
yeah, you've done a lot of traveling around the world, as I'll indicate from your bio here. So Anastasia Northrup has been studying and promoting St. John Paul II's message on love and the human person internationally for 25 years. She has particularly been involved in applying John Paul II's message to the single life since 2005, not only through the conference, but also various talks, articles, programs, and online events. Following graduate studies at the International Theological Institute in Austria, she completed her master's in Catholic Applied Theology with an emphasis on marriage and family through Maryvale Institute in Birmingham, England. She's the author of the study guide for the text of the Theology of the Body entitled The Freedom of the Gift, and a contributing author to Freedom, 12 Lives Transformed by the Theology of the Body. body. She's been a featured guest on many radio programs, including Teresa Tomeo's Catholic Connection, and she's a regular on More to Life with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. And she delights in being outdoors in God's creation, hiking, traveling, dancing, good food and conversation, and time with family and friends, especially the cutest nieces and nephews in the world. You can go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to find out about the 20th anniversary conference and also connect with Anastasia. All right, so a lot there, but take us back, you know, gosh, 25 years or so, and you're studying and traveling abroad. And what, how did this thought first come into your mind to begin the Catholic Singles Conference?
Sure. Well, actually, it was through my family's media apostolate, and we were recording a lot of conferences and talks on the theology of the body starting in 2000. And we had, you know, recorded other speakers and things like that. But it was about, I started organizing conferences to apply theology of the body in a deeper way, you know, because some people had heard different speakers, but the question was, how do you apply this? Because it's an understanding of the human person based on scripture, and it applies to everything, you know, not just marriage. And so sometimes people would think, oh, it's about marriage. Theology of the body is just about marriage. Well, in a certain sense, but no, it's really about what it means to be human. And so I was doing one conference, and a friend of mine, Dave Sloan in Atlanta, he said, well, why don't you do something for singles? And at the time, 20 years ago, I was 20 years younger in my 20s. And he was older than I am. And so I didn't realize the great need there was for singles ministry. But I said, sure, let's do something for singles. So we organized the first conference in Denver, Colorado, which is where I was living at the time. And this is before Facebook and Instagram and all these things, and somehow 400 people showed up, and we did advertise in newspapers and things like that. But it was really made very evident to me, like, how important this is. And over the last 20 years, I've realized more and more the great need for formation and for community. And, you know, I started it for the formation aspect, because I thought, if singles know what it means to live the theology of the body and what it means to be male and female, then they're going to have better relationships, and then we can have better dating and marriage and, you know, things like that, or religious vocations, right? But then I also realized over the last 20 years how important the community aspect is, because there is not a lot for single Catholics, and we need that encouragement and support. And sure, maybe we all want to, or most of us want to get married, but if that's not our present reality, then we still need the community of other people to be encouraged on our journey and our walk with Christ.
So you've got the conference coming up in August, and like you say, you've been doing this since 2005. Is there more to what you do than the conference? Are you doing things on a regular basis? Are there chapters around the country? Or what is the kind of week-to-week, month-to-month, you know, activities of the group other than the annual conference?
Sure. Yes. Well, it was in 2018 or 19, I started thinking, how do we connect people besides the annual conference? Because in and of itself, it's a huge undertaking to organize it. And I was just working with volunteers. And then my sister started working with me for a while, but she helped expand it because we said, how do we keep people connected? So we started having study groups, online study groups. And in fact, our next one starts tomorrow. So it's not too late to sign up if people wanted to sign up online and participate. But you listen to talks and then have discussions. And I think that really helps you to absorb the material and to you learn from other people. And it's just really been a beautiful experience. So this is our 10th GS24 study group. It's named after Gaudium et Spes 24 that John Paul II would quote all the time. And then we also have our Relationship Ready program, which is like pre-marriage prep, right? So the idea is, why wait till you're engaged to be prepared for marriage? We want to be prepared ahead of time so we can have better dating relationships and such. So that's been a wonderful addition. And then we also have our app, which is, you can access both online and through our own downloadable app. So then you can stay connected with people. We have a social wall and prayer wall, and we have online events. And so it really helps build the community, and people can stay in touch. And then also they have been organizing local events in their own area in person, right? Because it's really best to all be in person if we can, right? So there's that opportunity as well that people can, you know, participate in. So it's become a very multifaceted ministry, honestly.
Yeah. I'm curious about the age range, because I always, when I used to interview Jen Baugh about young Catholic professionals, I would always say, oh, I think I've aged out of being a YCP because, you know. But with this, do you find that you get, I mean, you can be single at 18 or you can be single at, you know, 85. Do you find that it's a broad spectrum, or is it mostly people in their 20s or 30s that come to these?
Oh, no, it's actually a very broad spectrum. When I started it, even though I was in my 20s, I didn't feel called to cut it off at a certain age, because yeah. I feel that there's especially less the older you are as a single. So we have anywhere from people in their 20s, a lot of people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that participate, and older than that, 60s plus even. So mm-hmm. it's a pretty broad age bracket, especially at the conference. And then for our study groups, we put them more in your own, you know, your own age bracket for the small group discussions. But
yeah.
But yeah, we administer to everybody that's single.
And is the goal of the conference, you know, because some people, you know, are going to be single their entire lives, and some people are single, but they're eagerly wanting to, you know, jump into a vocation of marriage or maybe the religious life. And so you really got to address everybody's particular needs. How do you do that where everybody's kind of in a different journey?
Right. Well, the two aspects that I've really tried to focus on over the years is, the two aspects are, being prepared for your vocation, but then also living your single life fruitfully and joyfully in the present moment, because the present moment is all we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's very important to be able to live out God's mission for you in wherever you are, whatever state in life you're in. So I wouldn't say that the single life per se is a vocation, but we all have our baptismal vocation, which is the call to love, the vocation to love. And so whether we're single in that state, or if we are married, then, or in the religious vocation, you know, we're all called to live our baptismal vocation to love, right? So I think that we kind of address both of those, honestly. And sometimes we have talks on male-female dynamics and communication, or, you know, brain science. We have, you know, your spiritual life. We kind of are a whole range of topics. And mm-hmm. in fact, speaking of getting married, though, because a lot of us that are single do want to be married, there's a couple who met at our last conference in 2024 in Las Vegas, of all places, which I always say I'd never have a conference there, but we did. Anyway, Jesus wants to go to Las Vegas, too. He's there.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
There's a couple that met there, and they're getting married in September. So
you anticipated my next question, because I was going to ask you if you keep any kind of count, or if you have any kind of anecdotal, you know, numbers of it's got to be, you know, you've been doing this for decades now. Many people have met at these conferences and got married. Have there been quite a few that have done that? Or do you keep
well, I don't know the
those?
Exact numbers. I do try. You yeah. know, I need to take a poll, because sometimes I'll find out about another couple that was, oh, they met in 2012. Oh, okay. I never mm-hmm. heard of that. But yeah. there have been several, and certainly, well, my favorite one is my sister and her husband, who met in 2009, and they now are married and have 7 kids.
Oh, so. Is that right? She owes you, doesn't she, for starting this conference. I'm curious, in the introduction, I mentioned about you being a contributing author to Freedom, 12 Lives Transformed by Theology of the Body. I'm guessing you are one of those 12, mm-hmm. or who are some of the others that were highlighted in that book whose people have really been transformed? Any come to mind that we might know of, or are they famous people, or are these just lives that people tell their testimonies, or what?
Sure, there's a mixture of both, and honestly, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
Well, I think of, you know, people like, Monica Ashour, you know, mm-hmm. she's one of the great speakers of you know, the Theology of the Body as well.
Oh, yes. We're good friends.
So what's going to, tell us about August 22nd through 24th. This is right around the corner. Gosh, we're a day away from being in July now. And so it's basically next month. What's on the docket? What are these events like?
Sure. Yeah. It starts Friday night, but the neat thing is people actually come in ahead of time, and we have volunteers that organize all sorts of pre-conference events. If people want to go hiking or see the city, or there's some Jubilee visits, you know, because of the Jubilee year, to some of the shrines and churches in Colorado that are going on, that's starting Tuesday, actually. So you can come just for the conference. You can come for the pre-events as well. And there's a few post-events. And then, but Friday to Sunday is basically the three aspects of faith, fellowship, and formation. So we have the talks, we have time for mass, adoration, confession. We have an adoration chapel the whole time, so it's almost like a big retreat for singles. And then we also have the fun, you know, social events. We have, you know, receptions. We have a dance on Saturday night. And so it's just a very wholesome, wonderful experience, kind of like a big family. Like, mm-hmm. hey, we're all single in the church. That's one thing we have in common. We're seeking Christ, and we can be here together and receive formation and just be encouraged too. And so, like, Archbishop Aquila is celebrating Mass for us on Saturday, so that's a big gift. And then we have a whole lineup of various speakers. And for this 20th anniversary conference, we're actually having a comedian on Friday night as part of the opening session. So that'll be a new added bonus to that. So it's a pretty vibrant weekend, I will say that.
And people can still register on the website, nationalcatholicsingles.com, right? National, is this registration still open?
Oh, yes. And actually, our early bird rate is the first 100 tickets, and we have 5 of those left as of this morning when I checked.
Oh, okay. All right. So run, do not walk to the computer and sign up, nationalcatholicsingles.com. Again, it's the conference going on in Denver, Colorado, August 22nd through the 24th, Friday through Sunday. I have in studio with me Anastasia Northrup, who is the founder and director of the National Conference for Single Catholics. And I also want to thank you because you are on our committee in your spare time. You're on our committee for our 25th anniversary event. So in the midst of planning your own event, which is going to be after ours, of course, thanks for helping us with ours as well. You know, I met my wife online, but it was like 21 years ago where people just weren't doing that back then. It was right on the beginning of that whole kind of thing. And I say that only in the sense that nowadays dating and single life is so different, you know, where this is kind of the norm rather than the exception. And how is media and social media and the way people communicate now, how does that impact, you know, single Catholic life, would you say?
Oh, that's a great question. I remember, like you said, 20 years ago, it was, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I don't want to admit that I met online. And that's, you know, some people would tell me that, right?
Yeah,
and now it's much more common. I think the only thing is it's both a tool, it's a wonderful tool, but then it's also a danger that you have to be cautious of, just insofar as we can sort of detach ourselves from, you know, like if we're on Catholic Match, we're scrolling through profiles and just looking at them as sort of like a shopping experience, right? You know, whereas every person is a unique individual, you know, that you encounter the image of God, right? So it's a lot easier in a certain sense to objectify people online than it is in person. And so I think we have to also take to use the online resources that there are, because people can meet people from across the world. I mean, another example, my brother, I'm one of 9. Anyway, he met his wife on Catholic Match, and she's from Malaysia. So they're, you know, happily married now and have 3 children. So that's an example of it being used well. And there's a lot of other couples that have met yourself, like you just said. But then I think we also have to make the effort to get out from behind our phones and computers and screens and everything and meet people in person. Or if you meet online, then, you know, meet in person as soon as you can, because otherwise we can just be stuck on our couch waiting for God to, you know, drop our spouse from, you know, from heaven
ceiling,
or something like that. Right. Exactly.
Well, that'd be nice if it turned out that way.
I wish.
What were some of the other challenges of single life, would you say? Especially for somebody who's trying to live, you know, chastely and you pursue holiness. They don't have that, you know, that partner to walk with them as far as a spouse. What were some other challenges?
Well, I would say for one thing, it's the community aspect, right? Because, you know, people used to meet at the parish dance, right? They have a dance or, you know, and people are more involved in their communities. Whereas now sometimes you can go to Mass and then you just leave. And if you don't make an intentional effort to be involved, then it can be harder to have that community experience. And so we actually have to make an effort to seek that out. And honestly, we're living longer alone. A lot of singles are, you know, live by themselves. And so then, you know, hey, we get used to doing what we want when we want. And then you get into a relationship like, wait, I got to change this, or I got to change that, or, oh, I have to, you know. So there's some lifestyle changes that I think we're participating in now in our culture, and we just have to be aware of. So like, if we're having a hard time finding somebody or in relationships, say, okay, well, what can I do to work on myself and to be more open and be more receptive? Because, you know, our future spouse most likely does not look like the billboard or like, you know, the movies or whatever the case. So these are real human beings. And so I think just making that effort to be more open, and then also prioritize your relationship with God and your prayer life. And the more we're in touch with Jesus, the more that receive his love, the happier we're going to be, the more attractive we're going to be, the better relationships we're going to have. So it all fits together like that.
Yeah, well, let me, we just have a couple minutes remaining. And again, Anastasia Northrup is my guest. She's the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. Their conference is right around the corner, basically next month. We're almost into July now. August 22nd through the 24th in Denver, Colorado. Wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. You can go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to register. They got about 5 spots left for the early bird. I bet there's like 2 now, you know, just because this broadcast. So run to your computer right when we finish the broadcast and sign up for it. You know, we started talking about John Paul II and theology of the body. And so if you were giving a 2-minute talk to a group of singles, and I know there are no 2-minute talks, but well, what are the highlights? What's the basic message? What's the takeaway that, you know, in that dense, you know, theology of the body and those Wednesday audiences that would benefit single people? What would you say?
Sure. I would say John Paul II said that we are all called to love. We were created to love. Our bodies show us the call to love, and which means to make a gift of ourselves. And so even if, whether we're in single life, married life, we're all called to be a self-gift. So I think the key takeaway is in our own lives, whatever state in life we are, if we're waiting for marriage or hoping for marriage, don't just be waiting. You know, be making a gift of yourself, be receiving other people, and you'll be better prepared for your vocation or to live out a fruitful single life long term. Mm-hmm. And so I think the whole key of self-gift, that's been my favorite theme with John Paul II. And I think that's how we are going to be fulfilled. And so that's the biggest takeaway that I hope when people even leave the conference, that they are able to make a gift of themselves more fruitfully and joyfully and really experience the joy that comes from that, participating in the life of God.
How much is registration?
Right now for the early bird, it's $449.
Okay. Then you got to get yourself out there, of course.
Yes, right. Yeah, and there's a hotel, but people also, you know, have roommates, share rooms. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of way to make it, you know, more economical. We do have some partial scholarships for those that are in financial difficulty as well.
And you expect hundreds of people to be there.
Yeah, we're expecting around 400.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you also for your help on our event. And again, Anastasia Northrup. For many years now, the director of the National Catholic Singles Conference. Pray for them. I know a lot of people are single and don't want to be single. Some people are single and they're happy to be there, but everybody's got a different walk, and we just, you know, we all have to find our own way to, you know, serve the Lord in our present state. I like what you said. Just live in the moment. You know, don't think in the future or the past. So thanks so much for being here. Great to see you.
Thank you so much, Dave. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody. Thank you, Cecil Anderson. And just a reminder that if you are planning to come to our event, it's going to be 2 weeks from Saturday. It's hard to believe it's right around the corner like that. Saturday, July 19th at the Plano Event Center, we're going to have Father Chris Alar and Matt Mark concert and Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. By the way, in case you didn't hear, I'm sure they've been talking about this in Morning Joy. I just haven't been listening the last 10 days. They got the award for the best Catholic radio program, which the Spirit World on Saturday morning. So if you want to listen to the best Catholic radio program on Catholic radio, even better than this one.
Man, I don't think we're even nominated, Dave.
I don't think so. The Spirit World, that's quite an honor. So congratulations to Tim Mott, the producer, and also Debbie and Adam for getting that award and all the others who are in that as well. So anything else before we wrap up, or did we pretty much cover everything we need to cover?
I think we covered it.
All right. So the lessons are from this show. Go to Medjugorje on pilgrimage. It's a beautiful place. It's a place of peace. And also sign up for the National Catholic Singles Conference by going to nationalcatholicsingles.com. All right. This has been the Good News Show. Thanks so much for joining us. God bless you. And we'll see you, God willing, next Monday for the next program. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.
This is Tony Becerra. My wife Chris and I own Babich & Associates. We are the oldest placement and recruitment firm in the state of Texas and proud sponsors of the Guadalupe Radio Network. We are also members of St. Thomas Aquinas in Dallas. Babich & Associates offers candidates insights into the current job market and provides professional candidates we have interviewed on a face-to-face basis to our employers. Our number to call is 214-823-9999, or you can find us on the web at Babich, B-A-B-I-C-H, .com.
Join us in praying a Hail Mary for families facing illness, unemployment, or death. May they keep the flame of hope burning in their hearts. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.